This podcast started with a desire to present a story of a blended family, the ups and downs, the good and the bad. But what we kind of ended up with was a little bit of the ugly. Perhaps it was even more difficult for me to do because of my childhood story. But at the end of the day, we had a really long discussion about whether or not we should air this podcast and decided that we would, because if we're going to help Black families be strong, then sometimes we have to have the uncomfortable conversations. Listen up.
Welcome to Season 5 of Black Family Table Talk. We are your hosts, Tony and Tony. Our hope is that we create a safe place to sit down to discuss ways to build a strong Black family.
Whether it's parenting, relationship building, health, finances, or advocacy, Black Family Table Talk is the voice for Black families. This season is brought to you by ABTF Travels. Join us for an epic adventure of a lifetime as we host an official delegation of artists and art enthusiasts in Ghana, West Africa. Please refer to our products page, blackfamilytabletalk.com/products, for more information.
Nicole Odom Hardnett, welcome to Black Family Table Talk.
Welcome, 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 Nicole.
It's definitely a pleasure to be here.
Well, you look fabulous. What is, you got your necklace going on and your hair did and your makeup. I was like, whoa, she's ready for a broadcast.
We're doing a little lunch after this. So I'm prepared for my lunch date with my husband and my mother and my grandson.
You know what? That means you are blessed. Mm-hmm. Tell us your story. Now, when I saw this, your narrative, I was like, okay, she's got a book. Tell us your story. How did you get to write this book and become a connoisseur of this incredible topic?
The book came about because I wanted to tell my story. Being in like nail shops and hair salons, you know, I've come across several individuals who have had my similar story with the blended family. The book, by the way, is Blended to Perfection. And I chose that topic because it was a very rocky road. And to me, at this point, my family is my definition of perfection. I know nothing at all in life is perfect, but to me, from where I started to where we are now, it is perfect for me. My husband and I, we actually met probably over 20 years ago. My oldest son was actually in one of his childcare centers, but we did not interact at that time. It was just business. And we came across each other. It's been 11, almost 12 years ago now. And we've been married now for almost 8 years. And we brought this beautiful family together and we blended them, personalities, attitudes, and you name it. We brought it all together and to this one big melting pot. And most of the kids, it's 7 of them, lived in the house together. 5 of the 7 at one time were in the house together. The oldest of the 2 boys, they were older than the rest. So they had already graduated from college and everything. So they were already on their own, but they came in for family events and things of that nature. But the children, they got along fine with each other. So there was no problem there. But these kids, most of them were teenagers. When we met, the kids were from the age range of the youngest was mine. He was 8, to the oldest in the house. She was just going off to college. So she was at 17, 18. So bringing those personalities together, everyone's personality was really set. They, meaning my husband's children, lived in the house with their mother for all of their life. So you can imagine how living in a house with your mom and your dad, then going to live in a house with another woman and her rules and regulations, like I like to call them, getting used to that was like a 360. So it was different for everyone, and everyone had their take on, okay, I'm not down with this. I wash dishes when I'm ready to wash dishes. My rule was, oh, there's no dishes in the sink left in the sink. When you leave this kitchen, everything is washed. No dishes in my sink overnight. So that was something for everyone to get used to. When your feet hit the floor, your bed is made. Those were my rules. But they came from another house where it was a little more lenient and things were a little more liberal, or either the mom cleaned up after you or made the bed for you. You can make your own bed in my house. So it was some getting used to change, and change for someone that's 14 or 15 was different. So it was something. And the personalities between myself and the oldest daughter at one time, they completely collided. And I don't think it was because she necessarily didn't like me. It was because she felt like she was basically cheating on her mom if she did like me. She felt like she was betraying her mother if she did have this, you know, this dynamic relationship with me. And it went that way for, he had three daughters that lived in the house or actually lived with him after his divorce. And they felt like they were cheating on their mom or betraying their mom because they liked me. And that was a hard pill for them to swallow and something hard for them to get used to. So that went on for a couple of years. And so finally, therapy set in with everyone in the household. I had to go to therapy. Eventually, things started to lighten up between everyone. And years went by. There were some tough situations. And things eventually got better. It took a lot on my part because there were some times when the oldest daughter would come into my house and not speak. And I'm a country girl. And the first thing you do when you go into somebody's house is you speak. And I took that really hard because I wasn't used to anyone coming in my house or what I call disrespect. And that caused a rift between myself and my husband. And so our relationship, which was a new marriage at that time, took a bit of a strain. It took a toll on our marriage. And it was a bit of a tug of war. And I had to be really empathetic because this is his child. This is his daughter. But I'm also his wife. But, you know, I had to look at it where he's in the middle of this situation. And he knew on the other end that the mom, who her and I didn't have communication, she's, I guess, a bit bitter because he's in a new relationship and she's telling the daughter this and that about me, but she's never met me. We've never had a conversation. So the whole thing was really messy and he's caught in the middle of it. But eventually things did smooth out. The daughter and I had a conversation and I explained to him, hey, you know, your parents' relationship was over before I even came into the picture. Everyone knew that. And it just so happens that I was the one that he actually left the marriage, I guess, for.
Let me ask you, before you guys decided to go to counseling, was there a discussion or meeting on how the blending of the families would happen? How did that go?
We talked. We had dinner. We brought the kids together. Him and I discussed things. I was very open with my children to let them know. I didn't put them in adult situations. I didn't believe in that, but I was pretty forthcoming with my kids to let them know what was going on. Hey, mom has met someone and I like him and we're going to go bowling because the whole family went bowling together to make the introduction, to see how everyone would mesh. When I knew that things were going to the next level, I let them in. Him and I discussed next steps and what was going to happen and what we wanted to happen with the kids and the relationship and when we thought we should live together or when he was going to move out. And so everything was discussed. Nothing was like, okay, this is going to happen. We didn't jump into anything because we knew we had these delicate people and it was going to affect them also. So we were very realistic and very cautious of the things that we did. And a lot of people didn't know how long we had been dating because we wanted to get to know each other. I was very cautious because I had been married before. I had been divorced for probably 8 or 9 years. Again, we were just very cautious. We were very patient. So it wasn't something we rushed into at all.
Wow. I am... I've got a lot of emotions going on because, well, first of all, I just want to thank you for being so candid and sharing your story, honestly, because yours is a situation, and this is a no judgment zone. Yours is a situation that a lot of women find themselves in. Mm-hmm. And I want to flesh this out. So it may be a little bit uncomfortable, but I respect you. Your marriage is, I'm glad you shared the story because it's a happy ending. Mm-hmm. And I love that it's a happy ending. But I'm going to tell you a place that I'm coming from.
Sure.
I'm coming from a similar situation where I was the child in that marriage. And we're here so that we can save other people's steps. Mm-hmm. That's why we're having this talk. They were legally married. Is that correct? All right. And your relationship began before they were legally divorced.
That is correct.
So the children, from their perspective, you were an intruder? Is that? And we're talking years ago, so I'm sure you're over all of that now.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure that we're handling this appropriately, because I'm not a psychologist. I'm just a human being, like I said, trying to save some people some steps. Right. Now, how was your, if you don't mind me asking, Were your parents together? Did you grow up in a traditional home or was it a non-traditional home?
Unfortunately not. It was a non-traditional home. I was raised by my mother.
Okay.
I know who my father is. We did not have a relationship, a real close relationship early on. We do have a relationship now. It's not as close as I would like it to be, but we do speak fairly regularly now.
Mm-hmm. Well, Let me just share a little bit about my story. And then I think you can comment. My parents separated when I was 18 years old. It took me 8 years to get over what happened. So I was 26.
Okay.
And I met my husband when I was 26. And we waited 4 years before I would even talk about having a child, because I wanted to make sure that the marriage was going to be intact. And that was an impossible prediction, because anything could have happened.
Right.
We've been married 32 years now. And
congratulations.
Believe you me, listen to the podcast. We've had our bumps and bruises. But again, we're trying to save some folks some steps.
Mm-hmm.
If you were thinking back to, and you were to see your future, What changes would you make? What lessons have you learned?
So let me just explain how our situation is a little bit different from those. Yes, he was married, legally married. I was very cautious in this relationship when I got into it. When I found out that he was married, he told me he was separated, but they lived together. I was like, okay, how does this work? When I say I was very cautious, I listened for everything. To every phone conversation, I paid very close attention because I don't date married men. I've never made a pattern of that. I've never done that before or anything. So I wanted to say, okay, how did this work? She lived downstairs. He lived upstairs. At no phone conversation that we ever had was she in the room with him. During his explanation of his relationship, all they did, he said, was argue all the time. And so me being married before, my take on that is that's not healthy for the children. Why are you in this relationship? He wanted to wait until his youngest daughter graduated high school to leave. He didn't go anywhere with his wife. He didn't do anything with his wife. There was no interaction between the two of them with the kids or anything. The kids never saw any affection, no kisses, no hugs or anything. When we got into the introduction, and I wasn't the first relationship he had been in. So when I came along, they hadn't been physical for years. He showed me a letter that she had wrote to someone else saying that she could that he could date other people. She was doing the same. So the relationship was not a real marriage. Yes, it was. They were legally married, but they were doing things that married couple, in my definition of a married couple, should not be doing. And they are raising these kids in the household together. These are things the kids should not be seeing to go out into the world to have a healthy relationship. I was totally against that, especially young girls, young boys too. You can't, you are creating monsters. If they're seeing you argue every day, that is completely unhealthy. You leave the house, you go home, you cook dinner, and he was the primary parent. He cooked dinner. He picked them up from dance rehearsal, music recitals, and so on and so forth. So he would leave our date, go pick one of the girls or any of the girls up and take them to whatever practice, rehearsal that they needed to go to, drop them off, pick them up, take them, whatever it was, and then come back to whatever we had planned for that the rest of the evening. That was his schedule. He was the transporter. The middle daughter was in cosmetology school. He would take her to school in the morning, pick her up in the mid-afternoon, and take her, drop her back off. He was super dad. He had no one else helping him. He saw my lifestyle and how I raised my boys, because I have the two boys that were in the household. He saw how I lived in my house, how I kept house, and there was no other conversation that needed to be had. When we talked, we knew that we could build something great together. And that's exactly what we've done.
What would you say you learned from the situation? What would you say, looking from the other side of this story, how could you have saved yourself and the children and your husband the pain and discomfort of what they went through? Or do you think it was inevitable?
I would say that during the dating process before the divorce, that counseling should have came into play a lot earlier. As I said, I'm the type that I've been fairly open with my boys. My boys didn't have a problem with the transition. And I, like I said, I've been married before and I have a son from a previous relationship. My ex-husband and my oldest son's dad get along with my husband fine. I'm a no-nonsense type person. I don't do chaos. Everyone, the three of them, they can communicate. They can call each other. They can do whatever. They can come to my house, cookouts, whatever. There's no drama. On the other end, as I said, I don't speak to his ex-wife, and it's not by my choice at all. That's my fax machine.
I'm
so sorry.
Oh, it stopped. Okay, go ahead.
But it's not by my choice at all. I have no problem with communication. It's just unfortunate that we lost so much time early on because she had whatever issues she may have had with me or thought whatever she may have thought with me, and it affected her girls. If she thought I was trying to take them away, no, I was just trying to add to their life. We can do this thing together. We can raise these kids together. There's no harm in having an additional person to add some additional insight to their lives. When kids grow up, they need an additional whatever in whatever situation they're going through, because it's tough out here in this world. And by no means have I ever tried to bring them down.
So you would say, I'm sorry.
Bringing in therapy early on. When you feel that, when you see things, like I saw things very early on in this relationship on that end, on my husband's side with the ex-wife. I didn't see it with the girls early on because they had like a love and an admiration for me. They would say, oh, my dad's girlfriend is so pretty and she seems nice, but we didn't like really know each other. But once there was a time when I saw some things that were a little strange that I guess once I saw them, I should have suggested some counseling then, because I should have known that the transition was going to be a little rocky. Because he would say, oh, she's not going to be like that. We haven't been, you know, we haven't gone out to dinner. We haven't had, you know, been physical in years. It's going to be smooth. She's not going to be possessive. She's not worried about me. Yeah, but you've been taking care of the household still. So she hasn't worried about that. When it comes to the finances, that's a whole different animal. Now someone has to fend for themselves. That's a whole different thing. And I'm a woman. I know. I know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I hear you, bud. There's something about the sanctity of marriage and the finality of divorce that kind of communicates things and makes it a little bit more clear.
It seems like the counseling was the turning point. After the counseling, what were the first things that you noticed from the blended family that stuck out to you so you guys can move to the next level?
Our communication got a lot better. It was a little more open. The youngest daughter and I, we're not at the level where we want to be. Like when she came to visit a couple of weeks ago, she sat down and she said, you know, I want to talk to you more. Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, I'm a bit of a loner. I really don't have anybody that I talk to a lot besides my husband. I have a best friend and we talk. We don't talk every day but when we talk for hours. But she said that she wishes she could, you know, just pick up the phone and call me like all the time. But she's used to her dad. Her dad has been her go-to person pretty much all of her life. And I understand that. And I said, it takes some transitioning. I said, but your dad, when you talk to your dad, he tells me everything. And if he doesn't know something, I make the suggestions and he'll take it back to her. Or I may text her something or she'll text me and ask me questions. But when we were in a house together, we had some wonderful conversations. And so I'm closest to the youngest daughter because she spent more time with me. We were together since she was 13, I believe.
How old is she now?
She is 22. She'll be 23 in August.
Well, I can tell you, your face lit up when you started talking about
her. Yeah, she's a gem. I mean, I don't have any girls, but biologically, but I feel so connected. I'm connected to all of them, you know, because their wins are my wins. I feel like they are my girls. I never experienced girls. I have one niece and, you know, I had her all the time when she was little, but it's like having real girls, you know, going through their cycles and hair and arguing. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't know girls make this much noise. I just love my family. I really love my family.
I can tell you do. And you worked hard. You worked really, really hard to get it there. We have two boys and we have two girls. Neither one is easy. Neither set is easy.
No, it's not easy at all. The family is just great, especially considering where we came from.
Yeah. Well, I'm very happy for you. I'm happy for your family. I wanted to just say, just as a compassionate person, we don't know the children's mom. We don't have her side of the story. I just want to be fair. You know, she could have been dealing with any type of issue. I don't know that. That's her story to share. Right. We're not judging. And we are also adoptive parents. And one of the things that we learn going through our parenting classes to adopt our baby boy is that no matter what in the world happened, You don't know the parent's story.
Exactly.
And that they, the child, will defend them to death.
Exactly.
No matter how bad the situation was, because the child sees that parent as a part of them. So when they get criticized, they see it as their fault.
Exactly.
So I'm sure you learned all that through in therapy, but I just wanted to add that as a lesson that we learned the process of raising our son, that we never, ever, ever wanted him to know that there was any judgment that we had of his mom and dad, because they gave him life.
Exactly.
And that's the best gift you could give him.
I wanted to hear more of the book and the happiness and where you find yourself now in your family.
The book is actually a story about some of the trials and tribulations of my life and taking me from a fairly young age and bringing me to where I am now, how I became who I am, the decisions that I've made, how my family has been involved in those decisions. It's a book about me not placing blame because I've been through some of the situations that I have been through. So, you know, I pick myself up, dust myself off and keep it moving. I'm not going to blame, you know, such and such for whatever may have happened in my life and just dwell on it. I can't let whatever happened stop me. I have to keep going. My husband and I, we started working together a few years into the business, and we have just, that was the best decision that we have ever made. And we have grown so much. We talk, our communication level has grown throughout the years. We talk about the kids. We're able to put the kids in a better place in their life. We don't give up on them. We talk about their futures and how we can help them move to the next level. That is like the gist of the book. Just going from one level to the next and to the next and just building on it. And things that I have learned from different people. I've taken advice from those people that I've trusted in life. And just kept building and have gotten to where I am today.
Beautiful. What's the name of the book?
Blended to Perfection, and it's selling on Amazon.
Fantastic. Nicole Odom Hardnett. Thank you for sharing your story. Keep sharing your story. I can't wait to get a hold of the book. The information on how to get the book will be available to our subscribers. So if you're not a subscriber, go ahead and sign up and we'll send you the links. And you gave us a discount code too.
Yes.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that. That's Black Family Table Talk.
That's what's up. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Black Family Table Talk. We pray that you have gotten some tools to put into your strong Black Family toolbox. Be sure to visit our Black-owned business directory on our website at blackfamilytabletalk.com/products, where you can shop and recycle dollars back into our community.
You can also join our family. It's free to join, and you won't miss out on special discounts and product offers reserved exclusively for you, our Black Family Table Talk subscribers. Tune in next time for more episodes of Black Family Table Talk, and be sure to tell a friend. Under Section 107 of the Copyright Act 1976, allowance is made for fair use for purposes such as criticism, comments, news reporting, teaching, scholarship, and research. Fair use is a use permitted by copyright statute that may otherwise be infringing. The news and opinions expressed on Black Family Table Talk do not necessarily reflect various platform hosts. All topics are for entertainment purposes only. Discretion is strongly advised, and all commentary is alleged. This is a Micah 6A Media LLC production.